Well, the number of people who've died from coronavirus in the UK as of today has increased by 113 to 578. Yesterday, the reported daily rise appeared far smaller because of a change in how things are measured. So how can we make sense of the numbers? Well, Dr. Kit Yates is Senior Lecturer in Mathematical Biology at the University of Bath and the author of a new book, The Maths of Life and Death. Now, he's an expert on the mathematical modelling behind pandemics. Kit, that sort of introduction almost intimidates me. I'm not quite sure what to ask you, but how do you model a pandemic?
Right, so don't be intimidated. Like the point is that we can explain we can explain these models in relatively simple ways. The most basic model that we use to model epidemic spread is called an SIR model. Okay, so it stands for susceptible, infective, and removed. These are the three categories that we break people down into. So infected people are obviously infected with the disease and can infect the susceptible people, and then they can also recover and move into the removed class, or potentially they die and they move into the removed class. And so we're interested in how, when people interact with each other, how susceptibles and infectives bump into each other, if they touch each other, if they breathe on each other, and so on, how the disease can spread around. And there's one really important number that comes out of these basic models, these SIR models, which is called R0. It's the basic reproduction number. And it basically says that if you have a completely susceptible population, then how many people will a single infected individual infect over the course of their infectious period? And if that number is bigger than one, that means each new infection is passing it on to more than one person. So you get this exponential growth. And that's what we're seeing at the moment. And the aim of controlling pandemics or epidemics is to bring this basic reproduction number down below one, so that each person infects fewer than one individual. And so just on your previous commenter's point about whether we should impose fairly draconian measures, the point is not that, I mean, ideally everyone would adhere to these measures, but if a few people don't, that's not the end of the world. What I don't want people to think is, oh, well, if they're not doing it, then I'm not going to do it either, that we should all just give up because a few people are being idiots. Actually, the point is that if we can bring this basic reproduction number low enough, then we can get away with a few people being idiots.
Is there any evidence that that is happening now? I mean, I've been reading various articles today, and we heard it from one of our reporters earlier, that there is some academic evidence that this is not proliferating as much as maybe some people had thought. I mean, can we read anything into the death figures that have been announced today, for instance?
Right. I think it's really difficult to tell exactly what's happening at the moment. We have sort of wildly varying estimates of what this basic reproduction number is at the moment, because we're still quite early on in this epidemic. In terms of the death numbers, they're still, you know, relatively small, certainly in comparison to the number of cases that we're having, which are much larger. So we're seeing day-on-day increases in the cases, and in fact today has been the biggest increase in the number of cases that we've seen so far. But because the number of deaths is quite small, they're subject to noise or randomness, and so actually some days we'll see increases and other days we'll see decreases. So today we've seen this big increase, this is the biggest number of deaths so far, 115. But actually, that's partly because of noise in what's happening and randomness, but also the reporting period. Yesterday, we were told the numbers at 9 o'clock in the morning, and today we were told these numbers at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So actually, we've had a whole third of a day extra to tally up these cases. And so if you account for that, then actually, over a 24-hour period, you might be expecting around 86, 87 deaths, which was the same as we had 2 days ago. So actually this dramatic figure of 115 today maybe isn't as dramatic because of the way these figures are being reported.
And how can we learn from previous pandemics to help solve this one?
Yeah, well, I think there's lots of lessons that can be taken, and one of those, you know, people have done studies on this, and it's the message that everyone is trying to pass around. Well, two messages. Firstly, washing your hands can make a really, really big difference. It can reduce this basic reproduction number by up to 3/4 if you do this effectively every day. And also, social isolation. In the absence of a vaccination or other method of treatment, then social isolation and social distancing really can make a huge difference. If we can just cut down the number of contacts that people are having with each other, we can really dramatically reduce the spread of this disease, especially when we're in this early exponential growth phase, when making small changes really make a huge difference.
My producer Kat has just messaged me while we've been talking, saying, "Oh my God, this guy's making me understand maths." My reply was, "Steady on." It is a fascinating field. When they told me that somebody was coming on who's a lecturer in mathematical biology, I thought, "What on earth is mathematical biology? How do you get into that?"
Right, it's a funny one. I think when people are at school, they think, well, either, you know, I do arts or science, but if I do science, they either do sort of biology, which is sort of messy and real world, or I do maths, which is sort of clinical and pure and abstract away from the real world. But actually, when I got to uni, I found out that maths is just a really great way of describing the world around us, be that in engineering or physics or chemistry, and actually, excitingly, in biology. And so, yeah, I did maths as an undergraduate, but I decided that I really wanted to work in an area which could make a difference to people's lives, and biology seemed like that area to me. So it's actually a burgeoning, growing field, yeah.
Well, Kit, thank you so much. That's Dr. Kit Yates from the University of Bath. In a moment, we'll get our regular business update. And don't forget, in 29 minutes' time, we want you to put your hands together.